You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The coaching search continues for the Cleveland Browns. Josh McDaniels has removed his name from the list of possible candidates. But one guy who is a newcomer to the list, Ben McAdoo, the quarterback coach of course, the Green Bay Packers, reportedly meeting with the team today. Jason Wilde, ESPNWisconsin.com senior NFL writer and host of the Aaron Rodgers Show alongside the Green Bay Packers quarterback, joins us now. Jason, thanks so much for taking time here. Give us a little background on Ben McAdoo for those unfamiliar with him here in Cleveland.
Yeah, he's kind of a Mike McCarthy. I don't want to call him a clone, but they kind of come from the same background. He grew up in Pennsylvania. All of his brothers are coal miners, I believe. I thought the biggest ringing endorsement you could give of him was Aaron Rodgers yesterday, because Aaron Rodgers was not happy when Mike McCarthy promoted Ben McAdoo to quarterback's coach after Joe Philbin took the Miami head coaching job. Tom Clements was promoted from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers wanted a quarterback's coach who'd been a quarterback. And then Mike McCarthy went out and hired Alex Van Pelt, who had been a quarterback, been a quarterback's coach, been an offensive coordinator, as the running back's coach, and made Ben McAdoo the quarterback's coach. And Aaron Rodgers, to be perfectly honest, was not happy about it. Yesterday, so, I don't think Aaron Rodgers could have said nicer things about Ben McAdoo, and it wasn't just because we were on the radio. He really came around to him. Their relationship really grew. He thinks very highly of Ben now, and he's not surprised at all that a team like the Browns would have an interest in him, not just as an offensive coordinator, which I think he's going to end up being if he doesn't get the Browns job. He's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere, probably Miami. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers was surprised in the least that they see him as at least a viable candidate for a head coaching job.
What would Aaron Rodgers, when he talked about him so glowingly, as you said yesterday, what were the strengths Aaron Rodgers listed about Ben McAdoo and his ability to be that type, get that type of a promotion and lead a team or an offense here in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is preparation. I mean, that Rodgers said he needed a guy who was going to get him prepared. And he also talked about how Ben can command the front of a room. Now, obviously we're not in those meetings, but I would think that that would be a challenge. If you're not the head coach, I've watched enough Hard Knocks to know how distracted some of these guys seem to be in some meetings. And he said that Ben knows how to command a room. That's a big deal if you're going to become a head coach. So, look, I was here. I was a young Cub reporter. I was thinner, probably more handsome than when Andy Reid got the job in Philadelphia. And to be perfectly honest, Ron Wolf always regretted not hiring Andy Reid himself and instead letting Andy Reid go, even though he'd never been a coordinator at the NFL level, and him hiring Ray Rhodes instead. He always felt that that was a big mistake that he had made. So I don't think you necessarily have to go straight. You don't have to work your way up the ladder if you are a young and up-and-coming and impressive coach. I don't know how Jimmy Haslam or Joe Banner or any of those guys are going to see Ben McAdoo, but I think he is a rising star, and whether or not that star goes all the way to a head coaching position, I don't know.
Jason, some people have to have what's called presidential qualities, right, to lead an organization or certainly to lead a football team. And with coaches, it's does he have that persona? Does this guy really have that thing that will indicate to people that he is a head coach versus someone who has spent his life and he's pretty young, obviously, as an underling?
Yeah, that's a great question, Vic. I mean, Mike McCarthy came here and he had just coordinated the worst offense in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers in 2005. But he came in here. He obviously has had success here, but he's also had two great quarterbacks play for him. And yep. He comes into Brett Favre, and then, and certainly he deserves credit for helping develop Brett Favre later in his career and getting him to not make as many, game-killing mistakes. And he certainly deserves credit for helping Aaron Rodgers grow into the player he is today. But I don't know if I believe that presidential qualities are as important as great quarterbacks. And they make you look like a heck of a lot better coach if you've got a guy who can play that position. And you guys know the Browns better than I do, but I haven't seen the Browns have the opportunity to have that guy. And thus, you know, I think any coach is going to have a hard time carrying those credentials forward when they can't get that kind of play out of a quarterback when it's a quarterback-driven league.
And we know in Green Bay it's Mike McCarthy's offense. It's Mike McCarthy's stamp on everything that the Packers do with their passing game, et cetera. So what contribution does Ben make with regard to route concepts and other influences that maybe just tie in specifically to the offense, even though he's the quarterback's coach and not the coordinator? But do you know of some specific contributions he makes strategically to what the Packers do?
Yeah, now I don't want to hurt Ben's candidacy here because I like Ben. And I should point out that he's been in charge of this the last 2 years, not just this year. But he was the red zone guy. Okay, McCarthy breaks up red zone, short yardage. What are they? There's a couple of other areas that he gives guys, goal line.
Yeah.
And so Ben McAdoo was in charge of the red zone packaging. That was his presentation each week. Now, they were 50% on touchdowns in the red zone this year, which was well below their acceptable level. Now, I might add they played basically eight games without arguably the best quarterback in the league. Last year, they were at 68%, which was, I think, third in the league. So that was his area, and he did pretty well with it. So I would think that, you know, that's one area where you're kind of a, I don't want to call you a junior head coach, but McCarthy does divide that up. McCarthy still calls the plays. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of instances with coaches throughout the league where if you don't call plays as an offensive coordinator, are you really ready to be a head coach? I don't know. Joe Philbin didn't call plays and then went to Miami and said, it's not about calling plays. And I think that's something important to remember when you're hiring a head coach. We seem to get hung up on this whole idea. It plagued Sherm Lewis his entire time under Mike Holmgren. He didn't call plays, so nobody supposedly wanted to hire him. I don't think that that's the defining characteristic of whether or not a guy's going to be a good head coach is whether he calls plays. In fact, I would argue, and this includes Mike McCarthy, I think coaches would be better off if they didn't call plays so they could preside over the entire operation and have a more global view. So I don't know what Ben's plans would be if he were to become a head coach, but I don't think that that's necessarily a deal breaker.
The fact that he's been handed the keys to the red zone, one of the most critical pieces, is certainly, I think that speaks volumes about the trust that they have in him and the faith they have in his ability to devise an effective game plan in the most critical area of the field. Let me ask you about your sense of him as a guy in terms of not only being a leader of men, but someone who desires to move to this level of management and kind of take away the intricate detail of everyday coaching as a quarterback coach and working with a pro like Aaron Rodgers, as you said, arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League today, to going into that more of a CEO role where you do have to do some delegation and aren't as necessarily detail-oriented, as you pointed out, one of his great strengths.
Well, I he's a no-nonsense guy. He's got kind of that Pennsylvania toughness to him. He's a sharp guy. I definitely think he's smart. I view it through the prism of is he gonna win the press conference if he gets the job? I don't know. Did Chud win the press conference?
Yeah, arguably no. I mean, but he was. I think no. I would say people were left more hopeful that he would do his thing when he coached the team versus what he did in front of the media, for the most part.
Exactly. Right. And you know, I've covered, you know, Mike Holmgren won a lot of press conferences. He also won a lot of games when he was the head coach here. I'm guessing he probably won a few press conferences during his time in Cleveland as well. But it's exactly that. I mean, Mike Sherman, who, you know, I know got fired in Miami this week, you know, he won a lot of games here too, and he never won press conferences. And when he got hired here in 2000, I was at the Wisconsin State Journal, and our headline was Mike Who? I mean, he had come out of nowhere. He'd been a tight ends coach here. He had actually gotten the job here as the tight ends coach under Holmgren when Andy Reid moved to quarterbacks coach. And then when Holmgren went to Seattle, he took Sherman with him as his offensive coordinator. He was there for 1 year, and then the Packers hired him as their head coach to replace Ray Rhodes. Again, that guy won 57 games here. I think that, you know, again, it's based on what kind of quality personnel you have. And I think Mike McCarthy looks like a better coach because they put together good personnel for him. And then this year, when he didn't have as great a personnel because of injuries and because his quarterback was hurt for 8 games, he didn't look like such a great coach. So, you know, while I certainly think this is important for the Browns to hire the right guy, there's so much more to it. And if Joe Banner and his group knows what it's doing in terms of personnel, I think that's going to go a long way to setting Ben McAdoo or whoever the next coach is up for real success, which I know, as I have many friends in Cleveland.
That's all they want.
I would love to see that happen.
Absolutely. And speaking of getting the right quarterback and having that help make a coach look better, you know, Johnny Football declaring his intention to enter the draft today. When you think about Ben McAdoo and what you know about him and his detail-oriented approach and his philosophies, is there a certain type of quarterback that he would be better suited to coach, whether it be a more pocket passer like a Teddy Bridgewater or a kind of a wild guy like John Football or more the prototypical size-wise Blake Bortles of the guys coming out this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be best equipped for coaching a quarterback that's good. And however that ends up happening, I mean, I just, you know, Rodgers has, he certainly isn't RG3 here, but he's got the escapability. He certainly has the arm,
right.
But he's also really smart. And I don't know Johnny Manziel very well. I don't watch as much college football as maybe I'd like. My daughters usually have CBS Kids on, but I would just say this. He definitely needs a quarterback, and they got to choose wisely because I just remember, and I really like Mike Holmgren. I was a young reporter when he was here, and he was always great to me. But I remember that draft and thinking that he traded up to go draft a quarterback who was already older than Aaron Rodgers. And I thought, gosh, I just don't understand that. And no offense to Brandon Whedon, I know he's a good kid, but, man, they got to get a guy who's going to develop and have the kind of future. Aaron Rodgers was just talking about this the other day. He's played 9 years in the league, and he hopes to play 9 more. I mean, how nice would it be for Browns fans to get that quarterback and just have him establish himself? And I know all the guys that you guys have gone through over that time. Just have that one guy that they can count on and build around. That would mean so much to that franchise.
Yeah,
it's no surprise.
To say the least. Hey, Jason, as someone who's around that Packers team, when you first heard the report that the Browns were going to interview Ben McAdoo, what was your reaction? Because you cover a team, and we all do this. We scout the coaches, right? We all sort of say, who's that next guy who's going to get a shot to be a head coach in this league? Can you honestly tell me that you had any inclination that a team would have interest in McAdoo as a head coach?
No, not today. No, not when I saw the story. I did think long term he had that potential, just like Mike McCarthy. Because again, I think there's some similarities there. They've got another young guy on their staff. His name is Joe Witt. He coaches their corners. I just think he's got head coach written all over him too. A little bit like Mike Tomlin, how he moved up real quickly. He would have to be an out of the box hire if that were to happen. But I see that. I see that in Ben, like a lot of us saw in Andy Reid. But the timing is what throws you. I mean, I once they fired Sherman in Miami, I said, well, there's no way Ben McAdoo is back because I know how much Joe Philbin wanted him. But so I expected him to move up the ranks and then, you know, take a couple of years as a coordinator and then get this opportunity. I think it's great for him that he's getting the opportunity to interview. I don't know if he'll get the job or not, but I do think he's a good coach. And sometimes I think Joe Banner said it. What was Andy Reid's record his first year? I think he only won 5 games. Sometimes, you know, it's like the NBA draft. You draft the guy that you think is going to be good going forward, but you might have some growing pains. I don't know if you'll have that or not with Ben if you were to get the job, but I do think he's a really good coach with a bright future.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Jason. We know you've got a bright future. You've done this for we've done this for a long time together, haven't we, man? We've been at this a long time.
Yes, we go almost as far back as I go with Sam Pines.
That's right, and he's been tweeting about your presence on our show and loving the fact that you've been talking about this coaching search with us. Long overdue to have you on, and I hope we have other opportunities to talk about it, and who knows, we'll see where this goes.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
He is Jason Wilde, and he is from ESPN Wisconsin. giving us some knowledge, a lot of it, background on Ben McAdoo. Is he the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns? We'll see. Vic Carucci, Nathan, Nate Dogg Zagura. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.